Welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's premier publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist, and I have covered M&A for a decade. Now, the current situation with market volatility is well documented. We've got tariff turmoil, growth forecasts being cut, and the European Central Bank cutting interest rates last week. But how is all that impacting auctions in the Europe, Middle East, and Africa region? To find out more, I'm joined by the head of auctions for EMEA for Merger Market, Rachel Lewis. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So just to begin with, can you very briefly explain what an auction is and how it works?
Sure. So an auction, to put it very simply, is the process by which a company is or an asset is bought and sold. So, you know, to keep it quite high level, you know, vendors can be investors, they can be corporates, individuals, founders, etc. And they essentially appoint an investment bank, an advisor to help them go through that process. And there tends to be a few stages. So you appoint your advisor, you do some prep work, you launch the process through sending marketing materials, which explains what you're trying to sell. And then you typically go through standardly to two rounds of bidding. Sometimes there can be more, sometimes there can be less. And then by the end, hopefully, you found a winner.
Thank you. And so we are recording this on Tuesday, the 29th of April. Can you explain what the picture is for private equity auctions in the EMEA region?
Yeah, it's a good question. And you know, I think we shouldn't really be thinking about auctions and M&A in terms of months of April, but rather in quarters. And despite all the economic turmoil that we spoke of that was in the introduction, I just want to take a step back, because if we look at the first quarter of 2025, it was actually really positive signaling from the market when we've come out of a difficult few years. So just looking at deal volume, it was around 224 billion euros, which is actually the highest first quarter since markets soured in mid-2022 and nearly double of the same period from 2023. Now, this was driven by more confidence in markets and pent-up demand. You know, private equity firms have had a lot of dry powder to deploy and also need to push through some realizations in order to generate liquidity. And if we just narrow down on that data there for a second, if we look at sponsor exits, as the majority of these are handled through auctions, then the picture was equally as positive. So private equity exits were around 114 billion euros in the first quarter, which is only about 20 billion shy of 2021, which is really the year that everyone sees as the peak of the market. So first quarter, really very good.
Okay. And now it's, as I mentioned, the end of April, things have changed quite dramatically. What are you hearing about the main obstacle to getting deals done? And how has that evolved as this year's progressed?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's one word, actually two words, which isn't going to surprise anyone, which is Donald Trump. The new sweeping tariff regime and economics by social media has instilled definitely a new uncertainty in markets that hasn't really been seen since the period of unpredictable interest rate hikes that we saw in 2022. I use this phrase a lot, but uncertainty has long been the enemy of M&A. It's impossible to model, you know, returns, deal financing, everything around an M&A process. If you don't know what underlying cash flows are going to look like, interest rates or economic policies that anyone is going to be working with. One lawyer source described it to me last week, and I'll use the PC version here, as an effing disaster. So it's not great. The main thing is, though, it's still extremely uncertain. You know, I don't want to put any exact opinions or statistics on exactly what tariff regimes look like, because probably by the time that this podcast comes out, everything will look different. I think we've been having, you know, a new economic policy before breakfast most mornings, but that's the key point, really. It's this uncertainty, which is now so predictable that it's almost become certain.
Yeah, and it's something we've certainly struggled to keep on top of, all of the news flow and the changes to economic policy backwards and forwards on tariffs particularly. So could you go into some detail around what it all means for those live and also those expected auctions that you're covering?
Yeah, and this is a good question, because those really are the two main buckets where we're seeing a bifurcation at the moment. So we've got the live and we've got the expected. Okay, so let's take a moment to look at the ongoing ones first. So these are broadly expected to continue unless there's a major underlying tariff risk. We need to remember that more broadly, and again, taking a bit of a step backwards, auction timelines have extended over the past 2 years. And that's because when it's been difficult to sell companies, we've seen a lot longer run up in the time between appointing an advisor and the distribution of marketing materials, and every step along there has extended as well. And that's just because people want to be more prepared. They need to make sure that the diligence is done, that the documents have in them that everyone are working off are properly audited and properly understood by all participants involved. So when we think about auctions that are live at the moment, you know, these aren't something in the first place that were rushed to market. These have been in prep for months already, and they wouldn't have launched unless there was a conviction that they were coming for sale. There are a few examples of that, which we can go into later, but just to quickly go over to expected deals as well, because I think this is the broader question. So we've got over 350 expected deals categorized as pre-launch in Merger Markets' proprietary auctions platform. And a lot of these are aiming to launch in the second half.
And is that globally, or is that just in EMEA?
Yeah, in Europe, not even EMEA. So there'll be a few more in the Middle East, but most of that deal flow will come from Europe. We've already heard of a few delays, with people now looking to early 2026 if they can afford to wait. Large cap is one area that we expect to remain difficult, just because it still remains difficult to sell large cap assets more broadly. However, you know, the people that I'm talking to say for the, you know, the higher quality mid cap assets that are shielded from tariffs, those will probably launch as expected. Although, as I said earlier, anything could change between now and September.
And how is all that impacting valuation?
Yeah, well, I think this is the interesting part, really. So I can give you one example, actually. So REC is a large listed conglomerate. It's been carving out its essential home unit from an auction that's been going on for much of the first quarter. It had been due, and there's two things here. So there's how valuations are changing and how auction structures are changing. So Reckitt had been due to take binding offers in the middle of April. And what actually happened, this was a few days post Liberation Day, large cap funds, we had a short list of Advent, Lone Star and Apollo, had been due to submit binding offers, but they instead submitted non-binding offers. And these were far short of the 6 billion sterling expected enterprise valuation.
I'm guessing that's the biggest auction in the market at the moment, because it's pretty big.
It's one of the largest, definitely. Certainly at that valuation. I think more commonly we're seeing stuff trade quite successfully around the 1 billion, 2 billion mark at the moment. So yeah, that's one of the largest ongoing. I think bids, those non-binding offers came in 3 to 4 billion. So that's, you know, at the most a 50% discount to the expected, which is significant. When we were seeing a big bid-ask spread kind of in 2022, 23, early 24, Those were around about 20 to 25%, according to my sources. So this is quite significant. I personally think it's a little bit opportunistic. The reports put this particular situation down to uncertainty for companies with global manufacturing operations. But I think people are just, you know, being a bit cheeky, making a play and seeing if they can acquire something on the cheap. The CEO did actually tell investors last week during an earnings call that the sale will continue, albeit at a slower timeline. So there is still some confidence that we'll be able to get this deal done.
Can you give any other examples of auctions that you're tracking that are interesting or significant?
Yeah, so we have actually seen a couple that have fallen by the wayside and have paused, which are sectors that are more exposed to tariffs or are still sectors where it's difficult to trade anyway, like the consumer sector. So, for example, 3i had been trying to sell a UK-based tour operator, Audley Travel. There was kind of one main bidder, potentially some others hanging around that process. That was L Catterton. And then we reported that it made an offer of 550 million British sterling, which offer was rejected because the vendor was seeking 600 million. So again, that's quite a small discount, but it just shows that valuations really do matter in this period. And then thinking, you know, more broadly about direct exposure to tariffs, Altor, which is a different private equity firm, had decided to postpone a sale process for Swedish plastic packaging company Trio World because it had exposure through some business operations in the Canadian market, and it was an exporter to the US through that. So I think paused is the key element here because people were wanted some time to assess what tariffs looked like and how they were changing. And I think, you know, that's how we might see things. Although, yes, there was a pause, but once things are a little bit clearer, if things become a little bit clearer, we would expect those to come back quite quickly.
And can we finish on some good news? Surely it's not all doom and gloom. Give us some good news, Rachel.
Luckily, we can. You know, I think the backdrop that I've been given throughout this is very much how people have felt over the past 2 weeks. I think, you know, when I got to work this week, the picture had started to look a little bit better. So the Eurostox has recovered to where it was at the beginning of the year, which is largely an indication of how people view valuations for European companies. The VIX volatility index has also returned to a certain amount of normality. So the picture and also interest rates have been cut, which makes deal making and financing, lending, borrowing a little bit cheaper. So everything, you know, it's moving in the right direction in terms of kind of general macro high level overlook. I think this is kind of not yet to filter through into how people are acting day to day in terms of M&A processes, but I think this gives a little bit more confidence to those live processes that we've spoken on, expected to reach a successful outcome, and hopefully install some more confidence in that summer launch window as well.
Great, Rachel, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Rachel Lewis, Head of Auctions for the EMEA region for Merger Market. And just to reiterate, we are recording this on Tuesday, the 29th of April. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the podcast. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.